another production from Solid Gold Podcast.
And a very good morning from a wet behind the gills. Yes, because I feel like I've actually turned into some kind of weird amphibian after the amount of rain that we've been having in Johannesburg. It's sunny today, which means that I'm in a very, very good mood. Had a wonderful walk down on the Spruit, and I'm ready to share the world with Jenny Baxter over in Antibes, where it looks like it's a lovely day there too, because she's just wearing a t-shirt. So is the sun shining your side too, Jenny?
The sun is shining, or has been shining, but I must say today's a little cold, and actually I've got the heating on.
So is that why you're nice and warm? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the fact that I'm actually smiling and I'm in a good mood considering our little neck of the woods has been without any power now for since the night before last. But, you know, which means no hot water. Well, I can stand in the rain, though. When it rains, I can go and get clean in the rain. There we go.
But, Mel, I thought that the load shedding was just for 2 hours every evening. So how come you've had it for 36 hours?
Because in the areas that some of us live in, there's aging infrastructure which has not been replaced within the last 20-odd years, okay? So everything is like bits of tinfoil and little pieces of tinsel paper coming here, there, and everywhere.
Oh,
and of course,
no.
The amount of rain, the substations blow up. So it's one of those things that – it's just another thing, you know, as we keep on saying, TIA, this is Africa,
yeah.
And our world-class – South African city is falling apart under our feet, literally, with the potholes. But it's okay, because today is a beautiful day, and there's some fantastic things happening in South Africa, and I intend to share the joy.
And hugely, I mean, huge news with NASA teaming up with South Africa this week, with SANSA, South African National Space Agency. And mm-hmm. It's quite funny because, so they're putting in a deep ground station, which is the first in Africa. So they are going to be sending people to the moon. And
yes.
Then the moon is going to be the stepping stone to Mars. And
right.
This is Artemis, who's the sister of Apollo. So South Africa
yes.
used to help with Apollo in the 60s. And
yes.
now, almost 60 years later, South Africa's back going to be helping again. So it's Australia, South Africa, and New Mexico. And what we'll have is we'll have these antenna that we can watch the spacecrafts forever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So NASA always has somebody watching, and everybody was saying yesterday on Twitter, but what's going to happen when there's load shedding? And it's like, oh, sorry, South Africa has lost the moon.
Okay, no, we have generators. I'm sure that there's solar power.
Oh,
arrays.
I'm sure.
Wait, is this happening from down there by Sutherland or like
Mikey's
Fontein, that area?
Mikey's Fontein.
Oh, really?
In the, yeah, Central Karoo. And it was so lovely. I've got to read you what the man said. So somebody from NASA was there yesterday for the groundbreaking ceremony where they
mm-hmm.
actually stick a spade in and say...
And they didn't even invite the space cadet to go down. I mean, really?
That's crazy. He said, location, weather, and existing infrastructure make Mikey's Fontein the ideal place to build this antenna. We really couldn't have asked for a better spot on Earth than here in South Africa, with whom we first partnered 6 decades ago to land the first humans on the lunar surface. And this time around, the person who will be the first to land on the moon in 2025 is going to be a woman, and a woman of color. So,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, she'll
okay,
be
so
Neil Armstrong.
I know there's going to be a lot of detractors who are turning around saying, well, they never put the people on the moon in the first place in 1969. It was all a hoax. It's done in the studio. No, it isn't. I'm like a complete obsessive when it comes to listening to The Infinite Monkey Cage with Professor Brian Cox, not the actor, but
yes.
the actual professor.
You have
and
mentioned him.
They have astronauts often on the show because obviously they talk about everything science, and I'm always fascinated. However, even though Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top did say to me at one stage, Melanie, when we go on the first passenger plane to the moon, you're coming with us. And I'm like, I actually don't want to. You know, just send me a ticket to go to America to come and watch one of your shows. That's the only kind of traveling I really want to do. Because,
yeah.
you know, I still have so much on Earth that I want to find out about. That going to the moon, for me, I love the endeavors that they're doing. I love the science behind it. I love all of that stuff. I love that South Africa's involved in it. But for me, I would rather go down to visit Sutherland and go and have a look out of the SALT, you know, the South African Large Telescope, and check that out and look at the moon from down here, because I'm a selenophile, but I don't really have any desire to actually set foot on it. And I was trying to remember who the astronaut was that I interviewed back in 91 on Good Morning South Africa, and I've completely gone off. It's gone.
I remember I don't know when it was, but Buzz Aldrin came to Mala Mala in South Africa.
Yes.
With his son. And I remember the safari guide telling me that he was wearing a shirt. I was the second man on the moon, and his son had a shirt that had, "My dad was the second man on the moon." So you obviously live with it for the rest of your life.
No, that's the wrong T-shirt for the son. My dad went to the moon, and all he brought me was this lousy T-shirt. That would have been the way to go, quite yeah. frankly. But yeah, I mean, I would love to. I mean, I think it's one of the few places in South Africa I haven't been to, is to Sutherland, and I would love to go down there. My little daughter's been offered a job down there, which she's not going to take, and I'm sitting thinking, oh my goodness, I would take that in a heartbeat. Mm. But she likes the bushveld, and I like the desert, so there's the difference.
Exactly. I wouldn't want to go to the moon or to Sutherland, really, because I love going places where there's lots of green and forests and waterfalls and, you know.
Yes. Which is also my happy place, but I, you know, for a desert for a little while is not a bad thing. But don't ask me to go to things like Africa Burn, because there's just too many weird people, and those are real space cadets. Anywho, what else have we got that's coming up in the way of news for expats, South Africans all over the world?
A bunch of people. Okay, for those people,
do you see
who
that
aren't
I have dilly gaff written on my forehead? Okay, you know what dilly gaff means. That's the way I see it.
I don't know what it means. I'm trying to say it backwards.
Do I look like I get...
Yeah. I remember. Okay. What else is news? Is that what you asked me?
Yes.
There's lots. There's for expats, there was a message that's really worth reading from an elderly lady in South Africa who has seen her elderly friends whose families have left. Now, her message was mainly for South Africans abroad, but it was also for people everywhere, for, you know, other South Africans, just to check in on our parents and our grandparents a little more often than we do, because you just don't know what's going on in their lives. Things are pretty tough. Sometimes you maybe left South Africa 10 years ago and you don't realize how your parent may have aged a little more, or, you know, might not be, your dad might have died, your mum's alone. They just, you know, it's just check in a little more, or get people who are in South Africa to check in a little more.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, my mom, unfortunately, lives down on the south coast, so it's like quite a difficult thing, especially during COVID when we weren't allowed to travel anywhere. And, of course, my brother's in Cape Town. So we do have a weekly attempt to try and talk to the mothers. Most of the time, she's not interested. But what saddens me a lot of the time are the amount of times that we hear from the people who run these care facilities or retirement villages, that they're the people who are sitting there, and even when the family lives in the area, they don't even come to visit their family, their older parents. So I'm a big person, like, oh, you've got lots of traffic happening out there in the south of France today.
The motorbike.
Yes, I know. Motorbikes, wasn't even a Ducati. It sounds like it was Japanese. That's really sad. I would imagine something at least French or Italian happening down there, but still. Back to what I was saying is that one small act of kindness, which is a group that does things for different people in different situations, but the one that they've put out at the moment is making Christmas boxes for elderly people who have nothing. So I'm going on a big mission for that, because, you know, the people that are stuck in these homes a lot of the time, as my father used to call them, God's waiting room, they're just sitting there and doing nothing, and nobody comes to visit them. And I feel dreadfully sorry for those people, and especially if they have no family. So at least you can make a difference. Even if you have children, get them, go and visit an old age home. I mean, you cannot believe. I know that Tonya Kunderman and various other people will also go and do shows for the people at old age homes, which I really think, you know, big ups to them. And please just pay it forwards. This is the last time that they have to do these things. So just do it.
Yeah, and in Cape Town, there's a wonderful photographer, Angela Gorman. She does a Santa thing as well, where you can donate, and then she goes around with Santa boxes to all the care homes.
Fantastic.
So get in touch with Angela, too.
I challenge everybody to get involved with doing those. Right. Okay, now on to rugby, of what we were talking about last week, of course, with AJ Fenter.
Yeah. So it's a very disappointingly, South Africa lost to Ireland. Close. It was nail-biting, 1960. But there's another chance this weekend, and it's just down the road from me. Well, it's 2 hours down the road. In Marseille, South Africa will be playing France, and it should be really exciting. It's Saturday evening, and France is currently ranked second in the world. We are ranked fourth, but we know Marseille. You know, we have lots of rugby players who've played in Marseille. So.
Yes, so maybe they know the tactics.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And then one of my favorite Swaziland actors, although he, of course, is an alumni. Okay. A lot of people might not know that that's the new name these days. Okay, so one of our favorite actors who came out of South Africa, actually, because he went to university in South Africa, and he's on the same kind of alumni as people like Fiona Ramsey. What's he been up to?
Richard E. Grant. So he's got a one-man show at the moment, which South Africans who saw it in London just said it's incredible, sold out, you'll laugh and you will cry. Everybody cried. And he's now in Australia and New Zealand for the month of November. So, and he's going all around Australia. I think in New Zealand he'll only be in Auckland. But Australia, it's Canberra, Brisbane, Sydney, Adelaide, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
And what happened is his wife passed away last year after almost 40 years together. And she challenged him to find a pocket full of happiness every single day. Just find a pocket full of happiness. And Lovely. So he's made this one-man show from that. And he covers growing up in Eswatini, Swaziland, his incredible career. He's worked with some of the top actors in the world and is one of the top actors in the world himself.
Yeah.
And his love story with his wife and everything. But you know, it's interesting, Mal, because I don't know if I've told you before on the show, but I interviewed him. A really fantastic interview. But it started really horribly. We landed up sitting together for an hour or two, and that was amazing. So I must just say up front, I really like him. But in the beginning, I was smoking in those days, and I knew that he didn't smoke. So out of respect, I went down the corridor, had my cigarette, and then was coming back, and he saw me, and he said, "You can't smoke in here," like before he even says hello. And I said, "No, I'm not going to. I know," and I went down. "I don't care. I'm just telling you, you can't smoke in here." And he wasn't interested. He just wanted to be the boss of me. And then I said something about South Africa, and he was like, "I am not South African." And he was just so anti. And then as the interview went on and he realized that I wasn't his cliche Braaivleis girl, as I think he called it, he warmed up then, and he was wonderful, and his stories were amazing. So, but yeah, he was a little sensitive.
I'm sure those people who have been living on a different planet, of course, those people who believe in Artemis and who are out there with the pixies. So getting back to the earlier story, obviously, he's the guy from With Nell and I. Okay.
Yes. And Game of Thrones, and he'd been in a few.
Yeah.
Will You Ever Forgive Me, I think, was a beautiful movie. Can You Ever Forgive Me, a year or two ago. Yeah. But with Nail and I, he'll always be known most for that.
Yes. Okay. All right, so what news have you got in from expats, people all over the place?
Well, South Africans in Portugal were so proud because remember we spoke about there was that young kid from school going over and a lot of South Africans going over for the triathlon world championships.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out of, you know, over 30 countries, South Africa came first. We had the most gold. I think we had 26 gold medals. So
that's
congratulations
amazing.
To everybody. And I think a lot of them came from former Port Elizabeth. They seem to have a good running closet.
Can you say it? Do you know how to say that name?
I do know how to say it, but I know that you'll tease me.
Klipacha. From Klipacha. There we go, down in the Eastern Cape, y'all.
Correct.
Okay, right. Now we're going to move to Bloemfontein for a while.
Yeah, where
and
your
why
man...
why are we moving to Bloem?
your man, J.R.R. Tolkien, was born there.
Yes.
And I think you've said before you've been to his... There's a museum or something, or maybe
yes.
I told you there was a picture. So anyway, he just very interestingly has become the richest dead celebrity, making the most money this year, because he just earned 9 million rand this year for the sale of Middle Earth Enterprises, which is the company that owns Lord of the Rings and, what's the other one?
The Hobbit.
Game of Thrones. Oh, The Hobbit. Yeah.
No, that would be George Martin. George whatever Martin, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, no, I mean, I love it. Whenever I get an opportunity, and if I'm going down to the Eastern Cape, I always pop past Hogsback, which, of course, is where he got a lot of his inspiration for the Middle Earth scenarios.
Did he get that inspiration if he left South Africa when he was a baby?
I think he came back.
Did he?
And he would have gone through there, yeah. So he went through the Hogsback region, that part of the Eastern Cape, which is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
When I was in the hiking club, we used to go down there all the time. And, I mean, there used to be a little chapel inside one of the big trees there where you could go and get married. So I thought that was, but it is, it's otherworldly. It's an amazing place, Hogsback. I always say to people, if you can, go that way. Don't even bother with anything else. Just go there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of bands that go and have, like, little festivals every now and then. So it's always worthwhile going and having a look at. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Staying with the literary things, of course, one of the, I'd say probably one of the second biggest sellers when it came to kind of like a series of novels that, you know, from back in the 70s and going into the 80s, of course, after Wilbur Smith, was Bryce Courtenay. And now there's something that's just happened with him, yeah?
Yeah. So he passed away. Oh, almost 10 years ago. And his widow, Christine, has written a memoir, which is apparently really, really good. It's called Bryce Courtenay Storyteller, and it charts his whole life in South Africa and Zambia and London and into Australia. I mean, he's another person who I had an amazing interview with. We had lunch together in Brisbane. He became Australia's most successful author and actually churned out a book every single year for Christmas, in time for Christmas. And the way he would do it is he didn't plan the book. He would, every month or week, I can't remember, he would send the publisher the next chapter. So when he sent that chapter, he didn't know what his next chapter would be, but he knew that it was finished. That chapter was finished, and now he could move on to the next one. And then the story would just like develop in his head as he was going along.
Were all of his books 12 chapters long?
No, he might have, I think he might have always taken at least a month or two off at the beginning of the year. He had like a little ritual. Yeah, incredible guy. When we had lunch, which I may have told you, he sang some song in Afrikaans. He, you know, his love for South Africa certainly never diminished. And he had a pretty tough life with his family and everything. So
I'm sure all expats feel that way, that your love for South Africa never diminishes because it is just such an amazing place. And it's always full of good news, okay? So that's the stuff we've heard about from South Africans who are not in South Africa. But what's been happening with people in South Africa that I might not have seen because I've had no power, therefore have not been online at all, and my phone is kind of like I'm running to people's houses and charging my phone.
Oh, no. Well, there's a really funny video that you can see on SA People at the moment, which is... some people in a car, a family in a car, have taken a video of a car in front of them in Shlushlu Mfolozi.
Is this the guy that jumped out and ran away from the elephants?
Yes! Can you believe it? So there's this huge elephant coming towards this car, and he's probably seen the other videos where you see the elephant turn the car upside down. And he probably thought it was safer. He was a passenger, so I think he left the driver behind, jumped out and ran into the bush, which is even more dangerous. But I think the best thing about the video is the family laughing, because the family just can't believe it that he's done that. Oh my goodness. So there's that, and then there's also really good news. You know, we've often spoken about Triggerfish in Cape Town.
Oh yeah, great
and
company.
Yeah, they're being honored again. The Snail and the Whale, which was animated by Triggerfish, has just been nominated for 3 BAFTA Children and Young People Awards, and that includes for director, which is Max Lang, and then South Africa's Daniel Snadden. So
excellent.
Congratulations to him.
Congratulations to them. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And I know you sent me a video of a guy on the side of the road begging, who had a chat with a woman, and he was having this conversation with her in like this perfect English, a homeless guy. And you were asking me, does this sound like this is actually real? And I'm like saying, well, look, I'm watching his mouth, but it looks like it's actually been lip synced afterwards, because the sound was like very weird, and it didn't sound like it was like somebody on recording on a phone in the car. So what is the actual story behind that? Is this guy as eloquent as it comes across?
Yes. So I still don't understand how that particular video was filmed. I don't know if they, you know, if they made it look like it was in a studio. It looked like it was in the street, and meanwhile it was in a studio, because sometimes you can't even hear a car going past right behind him, and then other times you can, and sometimes you can't, the voice actually totally changes to like a studio quality. So I don't know the story behind that video. However, the story of him is true, and we do have it on the site. He was a man whose parents split up, and his stepfather was pretty rough on him. His father just worshipped him. His father was wealthy, was a taxi owner. His father sent him to an Afrikaans school, had the money to do all that. And so he got this incredible education in primary school. But then when he went to high school, his father passed away. His father was murdered. And things just went awfully wrong. And so he's this man who most people in Auckland know, because he's there kind of every day. But he says, you know, don't judge me by the cup that I'm holding. You know, I'm saving. I'm saving for something better. He wants to write a book. He has a very interesting story, and his voice is beautiful. And his dream is to be an SABC presenter. So hopefully... Aww. Hopefully somebody hears him.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's also my informal recycler, they call them now, or some people just call them waste pickers. So we all take our recyclables and put them out when the pick it up are coming around, but we don't put them into our bins. And then we have these informal recyclers who come around, and they all come and get the bottles and whatever they can actually take to go and make money. And the one in our street, who's just the most amazing young man, he actually went to Parktown Boys. So we're also trying to find a way of helping him up as well. But I mean, at least he's doing something to make money. So we was never dismiss people out of hand. And that's one thing I find, that people who have got big Larny cars are actually infradig. I don't want to talk to them. I want nothing to do with them.
Not all of them are bad. You don't know. You can't generalize.
But generally, when I'm driving around my area, those people are horrid.
And now, so in South Africa, can you still take a bottle back to a shop and get money for it? Or how does that happen?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't done – it used to be glass bottles, but now what they do at many of the petrol stations is that they have these machines where you can actually take bottles and recycle them, and you can put them into the thing and they'll come and pick them up. I don't know if you get cash for that, but frankly, I'm going to put mine out for the informal recyclers, because that helps them make a living. A lot of people might moan about that. They're the ones that are on those trolleys, and you see them going at speed down the road with this big bag of stuff. They're fantastic. So I'm always willing to help them out, because they are making an effort to make their lives better, or just to make their lives happen.
Yeah.
So they're not like, you know, just standing on the side of the street and begging. They're actually working forward to it.
I know, but some of the people are begging.
Job.
It's a mental health issue, and we just...
I know.
Yeah. Because, you know, we have a lot of people here as well, and I get upset because there's a guy near where I live, and he's you know, begging every single day, and quite a decent looking, you know, looks like he could be in an office almost. And it really upsets me, because then I walk past with heavy, heavy bags and he doesn't offer to help me. And I think, oh, but if he offered, you know, then I would give him even more money.
Exactly.
But
it
now
depends on the efforts that people put in.
But he can't. It's his mental health issue, and I need to just go.
Live and let live. There we go.
Yeah.
The one thing we can help with, though, of course, is, and this is a story which has been a big problem for me over the last couple of years, working with Network for Animals, which is an international company but spearheaded by David Barrett, who used to be a journalist here in Johannesburg, and he now runs Network for Animals from Cape Town. One of the stories that they were doing to try and raise money is the plight of the donkeys. Mm-hmm. Do you know that they reckon that donkeys will be extinct by 2032 at this rate? Mm-hmm. That's 10 years' time, but there will be no donkeys left on the world.
And all because of their skin.
Yeah. So I see that Joburg SPCA have got a thing in place.
Well, they managed to rescue at least 6 donkeys who were on their way to a neighboring country to
be slaughtered,
be slaughtered and have their skin cut off and sent to China or whatever. And so they saved these 6, and now if anybody in the Johannesburg area has the space and would love a donkey, you can adopt one of them from the Joburg SPCA. Is there room? Have you got a spare room for a donkey, Melanie?
I don't have space for a donkey, unfortunately. It would eat all of my plants as well, which would be problematic. No, where I live, it's like a tiny little property. There's no ways I could have a donkey. But if I still had a farm that I had horses on, then I would definitely take a donkey. But let's put that story out and about, because we really need to do something about donkeys.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And then another really good news thing, which so many expats were so proud of, the acting CEO of SA Tourism did a great piece that we published all about South Africa's world-class film industry at the moment. And, you know, like right now you can watch Black Mirror, The Woman King, The Kissing Booth, and they're all filmed in South Africa because it's very cost-effective. It's a lot cheaper in South Africa, whilst at the same time making hundreds of millions for South Africa and employing people. And also because the locations are so diverse. So you've got your mountains, your desert, like you mentioned earlier, the cities. And I think the Kissing Booth, we put a whole load of pictures because I just love it. Like UCT campus is used for an American school. Victoria Road is used for Santa Monica. And Cape Town's International Convention Center is used as LA's international airport. Yeah, and so a lot of expats were writing from different parts of the world saying they just love it when they're watching adverts or movies, and they'll be like, I know that road, I know that mountain, and they recognize South Africa. And the one person said that her neighbor is actually a scout in London who is constantly finding new spots in South Africa to film adverts in.
I'm very glad that they're coming back. My brother does. He's in that industry down there as well. And so I know that they went through a really rough time for 2 years with everything being cancelled, nobody being allowed to travel out to South Africa. It was in a bit of a mess. So I'm very glad that they're shooting. And now I'm talking about TV. And I mean, I have tried to watch more of The Woman King again and all of those programs. It's really, really good. So but it's a bit difficult when you don't have power. What else is coming up in the way of entertainment that we can watch here in South Africa, and people, of course, who've got Showmax International or who have got Netflix can watch, that's got a South African flavor?
Have you watched Jan RSVP yet?
No.
We spoke about it last time. So it's Jan, who's got the Michelin star. He's a chef here in Nice and in the Kalahari. He had some great guests on this weekend, this last week, and that's overseas and in South Africa, and people are loving it because of the conversations, and he just loves people, you know, so he brings out the best in everybody because he just genuinely loves them. So that's on Showmax for everyone. Coming up on Showmax on Thursday is The Wife Season 3. It's the most watched TV series ever on Showmax. So that's even including the international shows. And I think really interesting for people abroad to see. And it's a love story, I think, between somebody who's Tswana and Zulu or something this next season. It's going to be this big, big love story and the tussles. And then there's Tully's Joburg Diary starting next week. So we'll speak about that more next week and hopefully have somebody on. I did speak to Shwanax this morning about that. And then on Netflix, a really cool one is Shamwari Untamed. So you can get, it's from sort of the vet's perspective and an ecologist. And it's how conservation is taking place on private game farms in South Africa, the daily decisions they have to make, sort of life and death decisions to protect species, heartbreaking and heartwarming, you know. And it's 13 parts. And then this one, which I know you won't watch, which is called, I can't even watch. It's called Dubai Bling. And it's just super wealthy people in Dubai, but there is a South African woman on it. Her Instagram page is full of real luxury fashion. And in fact, she flew to, you know, I went to Paris last week. I went on the train to Paris. She flew in this private jet, which she's filmed inside. Proper, beautiful bed. Oh my goodness. So different to my train trip.
But I would rather be on a train.
You know what? And my view was more beautiful. I was absolutely seeing fields and fields of France. But anyway, look out for her, Farhana Bodhi. She's on the show. But yeah, so
okay. So a lot of stuff for us to watch when I can. I might have to go and move into somebody else's house for a while until we get our situation sorted. Right, what have you got coming up on? What's the big story for next week or the coming week?
We've got another fashion person, but this is a fashion designer, South African guy, Tebe Magugu, and he's doing really well. We'll have it all in the articles and video. He's got top celebrities wearing his stuff, and he's just done doing a campaign with Adidas. So his designs are on their sportswear. So we've got that. And then just if anybody's interested, we will have details on this, because I must mention it, because I think the closing date is the 21st of November. There's an MTV show called Sugar Down South. And they are doing auditions, public auditions, until the 21st of November, looking for aspiring South African talent. So if you know anybody...
Talent who can do what?
I don't know if it's singing. I don't know. I've never watched the show myself. We will have all the info. So I haven't done the story yet. It's coming up.
It's coming up. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. I'll give you that
good
one.
Question,
all right.
Mel. I'll find out.
Okay. So whatever it is that you've got going on in your lives, if it's good news, please share it with us. We could really do with it on those dark days. Although, you know, the load shedding, I think, has become part of the South African landscape. So we're, you know, I'm going to have myself a little certificate made which says load shedding expert. And I'm going to come overseas and I'm going to come and teach people how to deal with load shedding.
Actually, that's so true. You could probably make a little money as a consultant.
Yes, a load shedding consultant.
Yeah.
Exactly. How to keep your spirits up when your lights are down. There we go. Jenny, merci bien. We will see you next time. We will see you next week. I don't know how to say that in French, but what I do need to say is...
à la prochaine. Until the next time.
Until the next time. Yeah. Or as you would say, ik zie nou later, nee. Bye-bye, dankie. Het is lekker om met jou te praten en ons zal jou volgende week zien. Nee. Okay,
thank you.
Okay, whatever that was. Okay, bye, dankie.
Thank you.
Merci. And to everybody, au revoir. Catch you next time.
Bye.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.